Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're so excited. This is our 100th show, and it's going to be an amazing show. We have actress, comedian, and political commentator Roseanne Barr, and we have Cindy Hickey, mother of Shane Bauer, who is incarcerated or imprisoned in Iran. And we're just so thrilled that we've managed to overcome so many obstacles to be on your computer and on the radio all over the country and different independent stations for 100 shows now. And we appreciate your support. We're going to ask for your support again so we can keep going for another 100 shows.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the year.
Our first guest is Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr, welcome to the 100th Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Thank you so much for being on again.
Yeah, it's nice to be on.
Well, we're very excited that we've lasted 100 shows. We've had to overcome a lot of obstacles, as you well know. But
yeah.
Tell us about your new book, Roseannarchy.
You know, it's kind of just a real personal journal of like leaving. I call it Babylon, but it is leaving Babylon, and you know, going to a place of inner anarchy. And you know, I mean, I could talk about it forever. Mostly, it's funny, and it just talks about how I kind of left show business for a real life, and I do have a real life now over here in Hawaii. And, you know, trying to get off the grid, trying to just live off what I'm growing, trying to, like, put my beliefs into action and create community and all those things. I feel really, I guess, you know, so many of us of our age, Cindy, we're all thinking the same way. And that's just fantastic, I think. It's just fantastic that the same great idea occurs to so many people at once at the darkest time in human history. It's kind of exciting to see a little light, you know?
Well, we've actually tried everything, right? We've marched, we've rallied, we've you know, done everything we can think of and put a lot of energy in trying to end the crimes of the U.S. empire. And
but you know what? That's just how they
worse.
They just keep us busy that way, you know.
Right,
You can't dissemble the master's house using the master's tools. You can't do it.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I just, people are always very confrontational with me, and they're like, well, you know, if you're not going to vote for the Democrat, then who are you going to vote for?
Uh-huh.
You know, like it makes a difference. Who's in the White House? The crimes are still going to go on. And so I came to the conclusion in 2009 after Obama was elected, and, you know, the crimes kept on going on, the wars kept on going on, torture, lies, oppression here at home, that we really have to take matters into our own hands, and that's what your whole book and your life is about now.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you say take matters in your own hands, a lot of people, like, they think that means, like, the old ways. But Roseannarchy is about the fact that the old ways don't work, and that's why we are where we are right now. So we can't do any of those things. Like, we can't do the violence. We can't do
Right.
We can't do any of it. We want a bloodless revolution in 2 seconds, and it's totally possible. And all we have to do is just change our thinking, change our paradigm, and we have it. And then when we think the right way, we will be able to take everything that already exists and is in place, all the mechanics of every government, and we will be able to use them in the right way to get the right thing done as soon as we realize what the right thing is. And, you know, we lived our lives in just, I don't know if you can swear on here, but just, you know, an empire of BS, an empire of lies built right. on sand that means nothing except for about 50 guys. It's all about 50 guys and their money. And we're just like pawns in the casino. We're poker chips. And so what are the poker chips? What are we going to do when we're tired of that kind of world? Well, we're certainly not going to choose which person sits atop that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's just a waste of our lives and our energy and our thinking and our time. We're smarter than that. And,
right.
You know, as I told, I went to see, you know, an old teacher of mine last week, and, you know, it's a spiritual teacher, and, you know, I still care for him deeply and all those good things that all those books say, but I told him, you know what, I'm going to let the past stay in the past now, because that's the only place it belongs. It can't be dragged into now, because that'll mm-hmm. poison everything. We're already at this horrible place, so let's not continue anymore. Let's just do what we were talking about in the 60s, which is step away, need
right.
less, grow our own food, and just, you know, starve the beast. Don't feed the beast, the corporatocracy that runs everything. Don't feed it. Don't play with it. Don't give it no thought. Don't give it no energy. Back away, because it is a beast, and, you know, we're its fuel. So step away. Stop. Get your mind free. Get your mind free of mental program that's been put into you.
Exactly.
And overthrow it and find your inner place of peaceful anarchy, and then you're going to change everything. And then, like I say, because I always, you know, I've been thinking about running for president, but in poetic license only. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would be able to still be the world's biggest runners of penitentiaries and prisons. That's how we get most of our money. But we could still do that. So we wouldn't have to replace that system. It's already in place, but we could just make one small mental change. We can arrest the guilty. We can arrest the guilty and not the innocent. We can actually do that. It's within our power right now, right this second, to change everything and make it work, solve problems, and as a result, save the American taxpayers and workers all over the world, save them just arms full of dough until every kid on this planet is living like it's Disneyland. We have that ability, and we have that money, and we have those resources. The only things we don't have is the will to get it done and the unity to even see or discuss it. And so, like, seriously, that's what I'm living my life for, to create community and not be about money and not be about ego. Leave all that behind, because I see where it led me. It wasn't to a good place. It was just to a hoarding place where I wanted more and more. And I think that's what happens to those very sick people who are at the top, bankers and such. They're very sick individuals. They are, you know, they're definitely bipolar individuals who hoard rather than share. And their mental illness is our business, because it affects us. If we're living under the rule of psychopaths and sociopaths and predators and pedophile priests, we are the ones who have to step away. And the most powerful thing we can do is nothing. And that is what Rosanarchy is about. Do nothing. When women stop tripping over themselves to run up there and support a system of bullshit, just
right.
women our age, Cindy,
right.
Cindy, because we're the richest and most educated women who've ever lived. Just our own group of women, the minute we take our eyes off of that off of it and stop giving it energy or fighting it or arguing it or voting for it or against it. As soon as we stop, it will fall, and it needs to fall. It needs no support from any moral person because it's wrong. And we need to be right. And we've got to do the right thing, and we've got to think what the right thing is. And I have given it so much thought, and here's what the right thing is, in my opinion. If we can put a human machine, a machine that has humans living in it on the moon, we can surely get a bowl of soup in front of the hungry.
Right.
We can surely do that. And why wouldn't we do that? There's no bigger priority. There really isn't. And I can't see how any normal person who's a thinking, feeling, decent human could see it any other way. I don't think at this date where the oceans are poisoned and, you know, the food supply is dwindling and there's no water. Come on, we're past all that arguing thing now. Now we need solutions and we need to implement them. And that's why when I talk about running for president in poetic license only, but I will serve if I'm elected, I would want myself to be a candidate who offers solutions. And so I have, you know, thought a long, hard, for years about solutions, and I invented them, and it was painful, Cindy. It took a lot of drinking to get them. But I do have solutions, and they are in my book, Rose Anarchy. There exists within there the solution to all of the world's problems, which is, you know, I could, like, boil it all down to mandatory penile uniformity.
What's that?
Well, it's an operation to where all males' genitalia are made uniform so that they no longer have anything to prove to each other about how tough and strong and brutal they are. They just will all be the same, and I think that that will be a peaceful world. And I think
that would take matriarchy and matriotism to put that into place.
Well, I'm a matriot, and so are you.
Yep.
And there's so many of us. It's so rad. I mean, everybody calls us crazy, and maybe we are crazy, but what the hell? This ain't sanity.
Well, the empire we live in is fundamentally insane and psychotic, and so anybody who is contra to that is considered psychotic. I was just in Venezuela over the weekend, and, you know, it's a poor country, far poorer than the United States, but it uses the wealth of the country. 60% of oil profits go to free education, free health care, housing subsidies, fuel subsidies, and food subsidies for people who are poor. And their income gap in Venezuela is narrowing, while the income gap in the United States is widening. We have the widest income disparity of any so-called industrialized nation in the world, and we are the richest nation in the world. And I know you have come to the same conclusion that I have. The only relevant division in the world really is a class division.
Yeah.
Do we want to live in a society that narrows that line, or do we want to live in a society that widens it? And one of the only
reasons
because we let them steal from us. We're codependent with the people who are stealing from us.
Well, I totally agree with that, but I want to add that it is class, certainly, but it's also race and it's also gender, and that right there is the Holy Trinity. And I don't want to separate any of those three entities because they all work together, and that's how they do it. That's how they get it done.
Well,
so
only,
you know, I'm for anarchy amongst women.
Right.
I want women to leave. I want women to leave all of the boxes that they've been put in and reach to other women across class lines. across race lines,
absolutely,
across religious lines. That's the right kind of thing. They keep all of us penned in and away from each other, because once women join with women, it's just all over. That's how revolutions get won, is when the women do it. It isn't nothing to do with guns.
Well, the divisions that we have in our class have been falsely put there by the what I call the robber class. You know, these racial divisions and sexism is fostered by the robber class to keep us bickering. It's the old, it's a classic divide and conquer, right?
It sure is, absolutely. And like, it's billionaire psychopaths, too. I mean, they have all the power and all the money. And, I mean, who sits there and goes, well, I'm going to go over there and move these resources from under the ground where those people live, and, you know, that's going to cause rape, murder, death, you know, but I'm going to make a penny. I mean, why are they allowed by us? I don't know.
Because it's that, you know, they have this myth that if the United States kills somebody, then that person deserves to be killed, that person is somehow an existential threat to, you know, me sitting here in Vacaville, California. But really what that person is a barrier to more profit for oil companies and other global corporations.
Well, but, you know, then they come back and they say, well, you're not going to get a job if it's not from a rich man and from a corporation. And to that, I have to say, you know, I see there is truth in there. When I had more money, I hired people. But the truth of it is that that isn't even the issue at all. I think that the stock market, and I wrote this in my presidential speech, we wouldn't have to change anything. All we would have to do is a paradigm switch, see, where we go like this. We're going to give a huge payoff to the person who predicts how fast we can get everything green and blooming. And then, you know, you're doing the right thing for the right reason. So who cares who makes money? I'm not a, you know what I'm saying? There are small fixes that could work where you don't have to have a coup. You don't have to have a military coup. You can actually decide to use the systems in place to do the right thing. And, I mean, that will save so much money that, you know, we could actually solve one of the world's problems, which we never have even been able to solve with all of our wisdom and all of our science and all of our religion. Not one of the world's problems. So I would suggest perhaps a paradigm switch between your ears, and then you don't need a job from a billionaire or a corporation, which is the greatest thing. That's what I could offer my grandchildren, is I can teach you to dig in the dirt and grow a carrot.
Right.
And to use the sun and harvest the water and take care of yourself, and you'd have to not be a slave to anyone. I am against slavery, and I'm totally against slavery, and that's what we've got. We've got a race to the bottom where the richest people employ the most desperate people, and there's whole cities of children slaves. I mean, this is not a world that can last.
Well, you know, it's like the whole, that is a myth that they employ people, because as the income gap in the United States is widening, so is the unemployment rate is getting higher and higher and higher. And they're making more money by sending our jobs out of the country and
employing because people will
children.
Do them for 2 cents. People,
right.
You can see them trying to, they're always cutting the cost. They're like, how many, this is what really makes me sick about the whole scam of it. How many times, I had to take my kids out of public school, which I did support public schools, and I still like the idea, like national parks and like Medicare and like Social Security, but I mean, those things, we're not going to be able to hang on to any of that stuff. They're going to go to and get all privatized and end up in the Koch brothers' pockets, all of our money, everything. But, I totally spaced what I was space where I was going with it. But I just want to say there's another way we could be now, and that's just joining together, growing community gardens, helping each other, caring and sharing. And I mean, I do think that there's nothing we can do, Cindy. I do think there's nothing we can do to change the road of destruction. I think it is coming. I don't see any way around it. And but we can live our best anyway. And I think that's what bravery and courage means. We can be our best person now because there's not going to be any other time where we're going to get the chance to stand up and live our highest beliefs and make them count. This is the time, you know. It's not going to come again. And so I just encourage everybody to, you know, get with people that are like you and help each other and stop letting false divisions divide you. When grandmothers our age, Cindy, when we're getting with kids in the inner city who are unemployed, when we're getting with people who are different, you know, racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds, when we're getting with them, we're getting with 98% of the people like us. And I just hope people stop letting themselves buy into the whole, should I vote Democrat or Republican? No, you should vote neither if you are a patriot.
Well, you know, and that's what Recreating Revolutionary Communities is about. That's what my organization, Piece of the Action, is trying to focus on. And, you know, it is about community gardens. It's about cooperatives. It's about rejecting this whole capitalist society and becoming communitarian. And that's not communism with a capital C, you know, Soviet Union totalitarianism.
I don't even know what they mean by that. They're always throwing that one out, but they're just like it. So I don't know what the word really is. It's just like, you know, a couple of guys at the top think they're running a scam on the rest of us. Really, it isn't even called communism, or it's just a couple of guys running a friggin' scam.
And right. And, you know, human beings are not meant to be rugged individualists. We're meant to be tribal.
Yeah, we're herd animals.
You know?
Right.
Our families and our communities, if we get off this idea that anybody in Washington, D.C., or New York City, or London, or Tel Aviv has power over us, that we are the ones that have our own power, and we can take that back and we can really create healthy communities, that's when the world is going to change, in my opinion.
Yeah, we can leave the past right now. We can leave the past right now. We can, you know, like I always tell people, first I quote my dear friend, a great author, Mary Daly, there is no liberty without truth, which I love.
Right, right.
And also, I just like this one a lot. Well, you know, your choices are very narrow. You can, you know, die on your knees or on your feet. That's about your choice there. So I prefer on my feet.
Well, people like to give their power away because somehow they think that power is scary. And, you know, when my son was killed, I did what you said. I left every patriarchal institution that had a hold over me. And I've never been so free in my whole life.
And then it's great, isn't it?
They think that these things give us security, but they don't. They give us slavery, just like you said. We're debt slaves, we're wage slaves, and we're slaves to this patriarchal system. And we can make, it doesn't matter if we're a man or a woman, we can make a conscious choice, like you said, to leave that.
Yeah, because the stuff outside of that rotten, stinking thing is gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. I went surfing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it's just gorgeous.
I'm going to surf down my gutter pretty soon if it doesn't stop raining here. But how, Roseanne, we're running out of time, and what is your website that people can you run a really awesome blog, and you're very responsive to the people, and you do get in dialogue with the people. And how can my listeners get a hold of you and get connected to that blog?
It's RoseanneWorld.com. RoseanneWorld.
All righty. And
I'm so happy to talk to you, and I love listening to your show. You keep on doing, you're doing the right thing, and I'm proud of you.
And we are going to go on a Revolutionary Community tour here in California in August. So when that's through, I'd love to come over to Hawaii and
I'd love it, and I'd love to see the other ones too if I could. I'd love to see some in California. That'd be rad.
Alrighty, we're doing a sustainable permaculture and sustainable living, and we're doing, you know, economy based on trade and
that's what I got going here too,
things.
Dude. We're all on the same. We're all on the same idea. It's fantastic.
Soulmate.
We can do it.
Soulmate. All right, Roseanne Barr, thank you so much for what you're doing and your words of wisdom and for being on the 100th anniversary of Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Congratulations.
That was actress and comedian and political commentator and woman of wisdom, Roseanne Barr from RoseanneWorld.com. And I hope you check out her book, Roseannearchy, and her blog at RoseanneWorld.com. Our next guest will be Cindy Hickey. Cindy Hickey's son, Shane Bauer, is imprisoned in Iran with Josh Fatal, American Hikers. And we'll talk to Cindy about the status of their case, why they were incarcerated, and the biggest concern people have is, were they really just hikers, or are they spying for either America or Israel? So we'll be right back with Cindy Hickey.
Cindy Sheehan's new ebook, Myth America 2, further examines two distinct classes of people that clearly show that we are not all in this together, as President Obama has declared. The first group, the robber class, are wealthy victimizers such as those corporations and politicians that profit off the hard labor of others through economic theft and violent exploitation. The second group, the robbed class, are the victims such as those who work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, those who tragically send their children off to die in robber class wars, those who lack proper health care, those who are denied decent education, and those who lose jobs and homes due to robber class graft. The robber class controls our government, and as Cindy says, we, the robbed class, can only be robbed if we allow it. With pinpoint accuracy, humor, and in layperson's terms, Cindy Sheehan shows us why we should no longer be codependent with the robber class. To obtain a copy of Myth America 2, please visit CindySheehansSoapbox.com.
Our next guest will be Cindy Hickey. Cindy, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm grateful to be here.
Well, let's talk about Shane and Josh and their case and why they were imprisoned in Iran. First of all, let's give my listeners an update on that.
Okay, well, as far as Shane and Josh's case at this moment, all we know is that they weren't brought to trial on May 11th, and we have heard no other details as far as why they weren't brought to court or when the new court date will be. You know, they were imprisoned July 31st, 2009, so we're looking at 2 years of time and of being in prison.
And why were they arrested?
Well, that's a good question. It's been said that they illegally crossed the border into Iran. Now, I know my son had talked about this trip a month in advance. Shane and I talk on a regular basis when he's traveling. He lived in Damascus, Syria with Sarah Shord. He is a journalist and Sarah is a teacher. So Josh, their good friend, came for a visit. And this area, Akhmedawa Waterfall, had been told to them as being a beautiful place, safe in Kurdistan, which is not the Iraq of Baghdad or a war zone. They went on this trip, and, you know, whether they crossed or not, I mean, even Sarah herself said, you know, there's no marking. She had no idea they were crossing into Iran. There was nothing indicating that they would do that. They had no intention of going into Iran. So they were arrested on and charged now with illegal crossing of a border and the crazy charge of espionage.
And Sarah has subsequently been, she was arrested also, but she's been released, right?
Correct.
And she was, due to health reasons?
Well, she actually was, they say she was released on health reasons. You know, she had a lump in her breast, which has been cleared. It was benign.
Mm-hmm.
So whether she was arrested for that reason or for other reasons, we don't know. But the one point I want to make is if they thought Sarah Shord was truly a spy, she would have never been released. And actually, out of the human rights, Muhammad Larijani was quoted saying that Sarah was not capable of espionage. Well, neither are Shane and Josh. They both actually are anti-war activists, and Shane's a journalist who's been critical of foreign policy in the Middle East, so it's very ironic that they're in prison being accused of espionage.
Well, talk a little bit about that, because that's the one thing that when I support, you know, the release of Shane and Josh, and, you know, in solidarity with you and, oh, gosh, I'm blanking on the mother of Josh. What's her name? Laura.
Laura, yeah.
Yeah, I am total solidarity with you, but people always say, well, you know, they were either U.S. spies or Israeli spies. Can you please speak to that myth and dispel that for my listeners?
Absolutely. First of all, Cindy, I want to thank you for your support. It means a lot to me. Shane, again, I would like to send people to shanebauer.net where you will see all of Shane's work. He's been traveling the Middle East for 10 years. Shane, Josh, and Sarah are pro-Palestine, which, you know, if anyone knows about the Palestinian-Israel issue, you know, it would take a second to research these guys and realize that they're, you know, they're very pro-Palestine and against what Israel's doing in conjunction with Palestine. Shane actually visited Israel because several months before his detainment, and the reason he visited is he was visiting his good friend Tristan Anderson, who was shot in the head by a tear gas canister, protesting Israel and their military action when it came to the Palestinian people. So Shane, Sarah, and actually Sarah's mom was visiting, rushed to Tristan's bedside to be with him. Now, Tristan just got home a few months ago. He's back in L.A. So, you know, another reason that a little bit of research would tell anyone real quickly that, again, they're not spy material and they would not be working in this way. They're passionate anti-war activists and very pro-Palestine.
Well, you know, thank you for that. And you are you still on your fast?
You know, I am not. I passed it on to Sarah and Alex, Josh's brother. My intent is to go back on the fast on the 6th. We did get phone calls from Shane and Josh, and I do believe that was, you know, due to our fasting. But my plan is to go back on the 6th and continue for much longer than I fasted last time. And this fast rolling hunger strike will continue until Shane and Josh are home.
I fasted in solidarity with you all on my son Casey's birthday on May 29th. And I just want to let you know that I had dozens of people fast with me that day, and they sent so many supportive messages to Shane and Josh and you and Laura and your families that I'm going to collate and put together soon so you guys can read them all. But what can we do to, and, you know, fasting is, especially for one day, is, of course, very symbolic, but what can we actually do to try and you know, work for the release of Shane and Josh? I mean, you know, besides fasting, is there someone my listeners can write? Is there some other ways that we can keep pressure on the government of Iran to do the right thing and release Shane and Josh? Do you think at this point they're just being, Iran is just being stubborn, or, you know, is it in reaction to the always continuing hostile rhetoric of the United States towards Iran?
Well, I do believe, I'll touch on that first. You know, it's real clear to me, and it should be to many people, that many people have been detained and released since Shane and Josh and Sarah's detainment. We have the Belgian bikers, the British sailors, the German journalists, who, you know, in some cases actually committed a crime and have been released.
Uh-huh.
Also the American journalist. I'm always very grateful and very happy when someone's released from a Vienna prison, because most of the time they're being detained unjustly. However, it's real clear to me that Shane and Josh are in prison still, almost 2 years later, because they have American passports. I feel like Shane and Josh and our families are being punished because of our citizenship, and you know what this has done to our families is immense. So, you know, it's the only thing I can conclude to. If they were spies, they would either have been released by now, or they would have been tried and convicted. The fact that nothing's happened and they keep postponing the trial should be a real clue to most people that, you know, they have nothing to hold these guys on.
Right.
The other point.
What can we do? Who can we write? What can we do to put pressure for the release? And then after that, I want you to name some of the other prominent people who are helping your families with this, you know, your cause.
Sure. First of all, if your listeners haven't gone to freethehikers.org is our campaign website, and if they go to the support section, you know, sign the petition, there's addresses of people they can write, the president, the State Department, also some of the Iranian leaders, we have their addresses there. You know, we really need the world to shout out about this. I mean, you know, I feel like the more it's in the media and the more people are out there being noisy about it, the more pressure we will be applying. So, you know, any noise that we can make, any public activity is going to be very helpful to us. You know, anything that's done, too, I think it's important to blog about it on our blog site and also Facebook. I think social media is a huge way to keep this word up.
And then who are the other prominent people who are helping you with the cause?
Yeah, we have had so much help. We have had, you know, many statements go out where there's high-profile people that have signed, including you, Cindy, which, again, is appreciated. We also have people like Desmond Tutu has spoke out several times, made public statements, written letters, Muhammad Ali, Noam Chomsky, Madrid McGuire. There's many, many people that would not be defending people that they thought were guilty. So, I mean,
right.
The list goes on, and I have to be honest because there's so much involved in this case right now. If it's not written down and in front of me, it's easier for me to forget names. So I know that I'm not mentioning everyone, but there's many, many people.
Well, and my listeners want to know how you're holding up. What inspires you and what gives you hope every day to keep on going?
Well, I have a lot of support. Personally, I have a strong, strong faith that we're always put in a position for a reason, and we can either, you know, ignore it and let it get us down no matter how hard it is, or we can take it and work for a cause. I mean, I'm about bridging people and bridging countries, always have been. I've raised my children that way. So I do believe we're put in this position for a good reason. Although it's hard and I wouldn't have chosen this, I'm going to do what I can to do more. I think this isn't just about Shane and Josh or our families. It's about a much bigger cause. So I hope this can bridge countries and people. You know, people... Examples like yourself, for instance, Cindy, are very strengthening to me, and the fact that you've gone through what you've gone through with your son and you continue to do the work you're doing. You know, family. I have a strong family support group, and the fact is there's three families involved in this, and we support each other.
Right.
We talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
email or phone call several times a day because we're working constantly to get this done.
Well, Cindy Hickey, we're in it with you, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, and I'm in it with you for the long haul, and I hope it's going to be a shorter haul than a long haul. And thank you for making it about peace and justice around the world, and we really appreciate it, and I just want you to know that you do have the support of all of my listeners and, you know, many other people who are just, you know, so concerned with what's happening to you and your families, and that to make it about all political prisoners too, and that's the United States imprisons more people than any other per capita than any other nation on earth, and so to bring it an international and a national and a local focus is also something that we feel is very important.
Absolutely, and I share the story a lot. Shane and I were sitting in my living room not long before he moved to Damascus, and we talked about the wrongful imprisonment in our country. We even talked about Iranian prisoners in our country. So again, ironic that he's there. However, I really feel like we need to get Shane and Josh out of prison because they're the kind of people that do the good work to bridge cultures and people in this country, and you know, it puts a strong light on what's not right with our country and other countries, and we need to help heal that.
And it would be very powerful too. They would have a very powerful witness again. So, Cindy, tell my listeners the website one more time.
The website is www.freethehikers.org.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for participating in Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox and our 100th anniversary. It's a very powerful show, and we just wish you and the other families and Josh and Shane all the strength in the world until they're home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. Take care.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the 100th episode of Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, and I just want to remind you that we have 99 other wonderful shows at the archives at cindysheehansoapbox.com, and I also want to say that my shows are oftentimes taped from my home. We patch in the guests to my phone, and then my engineer Scott records us and puts the show together, and you may hear some screaming in the background, and that's my granddaughter, my 18-month-old granddaughter, Jovi. Today, when we're taping the 100th show, it's pouring down rain in Northern California, and I had all three of my grandbabies over, plus an extra kid, and they're all three or under, so they were running around and having a good time over here at my house. And that's what I'm doing, what I do. That's why I spent the weekend in Venezuela this past weekend. That's why I keep on doing this show against all odds. That's why I keep on writing my books and offering them to you and just traveling around the world for peace. It's for my surviving children, my grandchildren, and the grandchildren and children of the world. They deserve a better world, and that's why we keep working. So again, thank you for listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan. I'd like to thank the three people who have been with me along this journey for 100 shows: Scott Cuddy, my engineer, Mikey, my producer, and Rich Bowser, my webmaster. I think we work together to produce a show that's very high quality and very worthwhile supporting. So please go to cindysheehansoapbox.com. You're there right now if you're listening to the show, and make a donation, anything you can, to keep us on the air. We really appreciate it. Order my book, Myth America. I'm offering that for free. Pre-order my book, Revolution, A Love Story. That's $10. I'm working on that. Should be finished by the end of June, so I can send out the PDF file to you all, and just keep in the struggle, doing whatever you're doing to make your part of the world a better place. This is Cindy Sheehan, and we'll talk to you next week. Peace out.
make my witness. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.